The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, ceasefire negotiations resumed over the weekend as over 100 people have been killed in Israeli airstrikes. And senior Hamas officials have listed 34 hostages, which they say they're willing to release in the first stage of the potential ceasefire agreement with Israel. Now, for more on all of this, I'm joined by Juliet Tuoma, spokesperson for UNRWA. Juliet, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's talk, first of all, about conditions in Gaza at the moment. I'm not sure what the weather is like. It's unlikely to be as cold as it is here. But how is it?
It is pretty cold, actually. And what is very, very sad is that children are dying due to the cold. So far, there's been 8 babies who froze to death because of lack of winter supplies, because of lack of shelter and lack of warmth.
And, when you don't have a roof over your head, and many people do not, what are they doing for shelter?
Look, it's very, very crowded. Having been in Gaza myself and seeing it firsthand, including when it was raining, everything floods. It becomes very miserable, very muddy. And people don't have the basics like blankets or warm shoes or clothes.
Now, we know there are very few hospitals operating at any kind of full capacity at the moment in Gaza. So how much medical humanitarian aid is getting in? Are the Israelis tightening the screws?
Absolutely right, saying that very few medical facilities are functioning, including those that are run by my agency, by UNRWA. Hospitals over the past 15 months have turned into battlefields where people, patients are besieged, medical workers are detained, and very, very little medical supplies are allowed in. Basic medical supplies, including things like disinfecting wipes, as one example.
The bare essentials not even available. Now, what is the attitude currently of the Israelis towards UNRWA? Because they have voiced suspicions of UNRWA's activities over the last months, and they've even threatened to limit access by UNRWA to its own supplies.
Where we're working against time, you see, there is this legislation that the Israeli parliament has passed a few months ago. It's supposed to come into effect at the end of the month. And what it will mean for us, if it's implemented this law, is that our work will become extremely, extremely difficult. Most importantly, it will mean that 2 million people in Gaza who rely on UNRWA for their sheer survival will go through more suffering.
Now, I'm not sure how much the people in Gaza are able to know about what is going on the international front. But the talk of ceasefire negotiations, and one is always suspicious of the real intentions or the good offices of the negotiating parties. But these discussions going on in Qatar, how much is known about these?
Well, look, we're always very, very hopeful when these talks resume because a ceasefire is long, long overdue. People in Gaza are absolutely, absolutely exhausted and desperate. People in Israel are going through so much suffering, including and especially the families of the hostages. It is time to reach a deal that will bring a ceasefire, that will release the hostages, that will release all the humanitarian and medical staff who are in detention in Israel. It's long overdue. It's about time.
Now, we have been here before on the brink of a ceasefire deal, and it never happened.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's taking way, way too long. I don't know why. And there is no question that it is time to put the guns down and to bring respite to civilians and to work towards a long-term political and peaceful solution towards the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, to end that conflict once and for all.
Now, every time we talk to the Israelis, they tell us that when food aid does get into Gaza via the Egyptian crossing or wherever else it, by however else it arrives, that it is looted by Hamas. Is that true?
Look, at the moment, aid is going to Gaza via only one crossing that the State of Israel is controlling. There's no other route of aid delivery. It's been the case for a few months now. And there is a status siege that the Israeli forces have imposed on Gaza, under which very, very little is allowed in. Due to that policy and due to the fact that the Israeli forces have been targeting Palestinian police, due to very high levels of desperation, there's been a breakdown in civil order in Gaza. That shouldn't be surprising, right? And so what we're seeing over the past few weeks is organized crime. So basically, whenever the Israelis are allowing us finally to get in some very basic supplies, quite often these supplies are being looted. Now, hand in hand, we've just had a couple of days ago an incident of shooting by the Israeli forces towards one of the United Nations convoys. So the parties to the conflict have got to respect humanitarian workers and humanitarian convoys.
Does the UN have any power to protect its own convoys?
We coordinate with parties to the conflict. We give them the exact details of every movement that we do to high-risk areas. It is their responsibility, their obligation to make sure that humanitarian convoys are protected and humanitarian staff are protected. You see, since the war began, only at UNRWA, we have 260 colleagues of ours who have been killed. Several of them were killed in the line of duty.
Now, the prospect of this ceasefire, the Israelis denied that they were given a list by Hamas of 34 hostages that would be released. Now, it is not clear whether those are living hostages, hostages who are living but wounded, or the bodies of hostages. Do you have any information on that front? Because this might be key to bringing about a ceasefire.
I don't. I wish I did. But what I do call for, once again here, is for the release of all hostages detained in Gaza. They must be released right away.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning that over 100 people have been killed in airstrikes. The Israelis always claim that they are targeting Hamas operatives, and it doesn't seem that collateral damage means anything to the Israelis. If they succeed in, by their lights, killing, say, four Hamas operatives, and in the consequence they kill 20 ordinary non-involved people, that's acceptable to the Israelis, it would appear. What do you know of their targeting, and how much bombing is still going on?
Too many civilians have been killed in Gaza, and the past few days have been exceptionally difficult with reports of mass casualties, among them children, women, older people, attacks on United Nations facilities, attacks on civilian infrastructure. This is not acceptable, and there are rules to every war, and parties to the conflict need to abide by these rules. This is why they're there.
Do you have any sense of what the Israeli end game is, what objectives they might achieve before they will go along with the ceasefire? And one wonders if it's linked to the accession of Donald Trump. He was certified yesterday and he will become president on the 20th of January. Is that part of the delay?
What I do know is that the ceasefire is long overdue, and there has got to be a ceasefire very, very soon in Gaza. Respite for civilians, respites for civilians in Israel as well, and a standard flow of humanitarian and commercial supplies into the Gaza Strip, including for winter, so that people are at least warm during the coming months.
And Juliet, finally, I mean, to get a sense of how desolate it is in Gaza, can you describe what is left of the infrastructure, the built infrastructure, the apartment blocks, the hospitals, transport infrastructure? How much is left and how long it might take to rebuild?
I tell you what we've been going through at UNRWA. So we've had 300 buildings across the Gaza Strip. The vast majority of them were schools, but we also had warehouses and guest houses and offices and clinics and other buildings. Two-thirds of them can no longer be used. Two-thirds of them have been hit during the war. Vast majority of them were hit while they were sheltering people who were forced to flee their homes. It has to come, the time has to come for a ceasefire also to allow to rebuild. Now, beyond the brick and stone, there is also the social fabric that was extremely torn apart. Families were divided, separated. There's a lot of loss, a lot of grief. And there needs to be the time for people to be allowed to grieve their losses, but also to reconcile with what they've seen and to overcome.
Now, frequently we talk about the death toll, and although the Israelis quibble with the figures, the estimates of somewhere around 46,000 people have died and many families bereft. But also, so many people have been maimed in the bombing. You know, there will be thousands and thousands of amputees. There'll be more thousands of people who will be disabled by what they have gone through. And on top of that, the mental health problems will accrue, I have no doubt, in the coming years.
Oh, absolutely. I think it is safe to say that every single person in Gaza, among the 2 million people, is scarred, whether it's physically, but certainly emotionally. And for that, you need time for people to overcome and to heal. Meanwhile, UNRWA is providing psychological support to tens of thousands of people through our social workers and our experts. And we are also working with children on some learning activities. You see, all of Gaza's children have been out of school for the second year in a row. And that on its own is a trauma. And is a shock. So what needs to happen is a ceasefire for children to resume or reconnect a little bit with whatever is left of their lost childhood.
Do you ever become dispirited about all of this? Because I suspect only optimism can get you through the day.
Oh, absolutely. That's what keeps us going. What keeps us going is also our staff who are working day in, day out. Despite the fact that they themselves in Gaza have been impacted, they've been displaced, they continue. And this is why this bill that is likely to come into effect in less than 3 weeks now is going to have a devastating toll on the people of Gaza, including on our staff. It's going to get things much, much, much worse.
Juliet, thank you very much for joining us. That's Juliet Tuoma, UNRWA spokesperson, talking about the plight of the people, the endless plight of the people of Gaza.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.